the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South, it's 7 a.m. Time to wake up on Catholic Community Radio.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Monday morning. We're so glad to have you with us today. I'm Gabby Smith along with Damian Collado. Hey, Damian. Good morning.
Good morning. How was your weekend?
It was so good. Actually, you know what? It was one of those weekends where you would go outside, it would like downpour, and then you have to run back inside. It did that about 5, 6 times.
Really?
The
you were dodging the rainstorms or showers?
Yeah, we gave up around 2 o'clock and stayed inside.
Oh, what the heck? After a while, that's right. Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. I guess that makes it a little fun to try to predict what's going to happen. We'll get into the weather, by the way.
Though.
Yeah. It doesn't rain all everywhere, and we'll get into that in a moment. But in the meantime, let's start our Monday. Believe it or not, August 1st, we're going to start off with a prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Remember, O Christian soul, that you have this day and every day of our life. God is glorified. Jesus is to imitate. The angels and saints to invoke, a soul to save, a body to mortify, sins to expiate, virtues to acquire, hell to avoid, heaven to gain, eternity to prepare for and time to profit by, neighbors to edify, the world to despise, devils to combat, passions to subdue, death perhaps to suffer, and judgment to undergo. Heavenly Father, may your will be done each and every day. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. St. Alphonsus Liguori, pray for us.
Pray for us. We have events in your listening area we will give you details about. That is coming up, I would say, in about 5, 6 minutes. So stay tuned with us. No, actually, it's going to be in about 8 minutes. So I don't know what I'm
who's
saying.
Counting?
7:02. Yeah, it's Monday. So 8 minutes. Stay with us. Lonnie Toto joins us. He'll be with us in 18 minutes. Director of Communications for the Diocese of Homo-Thibodeau. He's going to give us an update of what you'll find in this week's Bayou Catholic Magazine. And Alan Migliarotta will be with us in 35 minutes. He's a co-author of Failing Forward, Leadership Lessons for Catholic Teens Today, and we're going to talk about preparing our teens to return to school. A lot of people are starting school this week, a lot of kids. Maybe it's today, maybe it's Friday. I don't know about you guys, but I know, Damian, your kids are out of the house. And getting back into the rhythm of school, packing that lunch, waking up early, getting there, you know, it's kind of rough at the beginning sometimes for a lot of people. I know in my household, it takes us a couple of days to get back into the rhythm of things, into the routine. So we'll talk to Alan about that. Kristen Van Uden also joins us in 48 minutes. She's the author spokesperson for Sophia Institute Press. And today she's going to talk about the book Meditations on the Holy Rosary, which is something we could all use right about now and always, really, all the time. Yeah. So it's going to be a good interview with Kristen. And I'm hoping for some good weather too, Damian. What you have?
It's the same old summer weather, to be honest with you. It's the one thing, it's not going to be as hot as it has been. The high today may get to 90, but for the rest of the week, it's in the upper 80s, and the lows are going to be in the mid to low 70s at night, so that's not too bad. The challenge, humidity when you open the door first thing in the morning with partly cloudy skies, and then the afternoon isolated showers, which Gabby and her husband love to dodge on weekends. And it's going to be this way all week, and nothing you haven't experienced day in and day out for our summer pattern. Temperatures in and around the area, the hot spot, 84 degrees already in Bay St. Louis, 77 in Baton Rouge and on the North Shore, 81 in New Orleans, 78 in Homo-Thibodeau. Don't go away. We have your gospel and gospel reflection. It's 5 after on a Monday morning on Wake Up.
A good Monday to you. I'm Father Chris Decker with today's Gospel. When Jesus heard of the death of John the Baptist, he withdrew in a boat to a deserted place by himself. The crowds heard of this and followed him on foot from their towns. When he disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, and he cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples approached him and said, "This is a deserted place, and it is already late. Dismiss the crowd so that they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves." He said to them, "There is no need for them to go away. Give them some food yourselves." But they said to him, "Five loaves and two fish are all we have here." Then he said, "Bring them here to me." And he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing, broke the loaves, and gave them to the disciples, who in turn gave them to the crowds. They all ate and were satisfied, and they picked up the fragments left over, 12 wicker baskets full. Those who ate were about 5,000 men, not counting women and children. We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
This miracle anticipates the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy, which foretold that the Messiah would host a universal feast. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will provide for all peoples a feast of rich food and choice wines. The scene anticipates both the Eucharist instituted on the eve of the Passion that is perpetually celebrated by the Church, and the eternal banquet of Jesus' wedding feast in paradise at the end of time. In addition, the reference to the vast crowds in the deserted place, who are nourished with bread, also recalls the preparatory event of God feeding Israel with manna in the desert, as well as the prophet Elisha feeding 100 men with 20 loaves of barley bread. Collectively, these episodes amount to a massive testimony of God's fundamental role as the nourisher of mankind. His love and mercy touches our every need. One of the key features of Matthew's narrative is the role of the disciples as facilitators of their Lord's compassion. This is ironic because they did not understand either what is involved nor what their role might be. At first, they wanted to limit Jesus' activity to just teaching and healing. They did not worry about the crowd's hunger. Their attitude seemed to be, well, let them feed themselves. But Jesus said, "There is no need for them to go away. Give them some food yourselves." Their participation was required. They must engage their scanty resources in what must have seemed to them as an impossible task. Five loaves and two fish, all that we have. Jesus's future priests will learn that their fidelity and misery merit Jesus's help. They will understand that there is an utter disproportion between the poverty of human means and the divine capacity to transform them. The 12 baskets of leftovers symbolizes the endless supply of grace entrusted to the apostles and ever present in Jesus' church through his sacraments. And the end result is total satisfaction. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sakers.
Thank you, James, and thank you, Father Chris. It's Monday morning, August 1st. You're listening to Wake Up. So glad you could join us. It's 11 after the hour. And I'm Damian Colano along with Gabby Smith. And we have a number of events we want to share with you. In case you want to jot these down, get paper and pen together. And if not, you could record the show or you can go to our website, ccradio.live, and you could find the information there. St. Vincent de Paul, okay, if you want to help them out, it's always a time of need when school is around because they provide school uniforms to children in need in the Baton Rouge area by making a financial gift. You can, or if you don't want to buy the new uniforms, you can donate gently used uniforms and drop them off at one of the drop-off locations throughout the Diocese of Baton Rouge. This has been an ongoing campaign and one that is very important, especially to those young kids in need. The uniforms are important. They need 18,000 uniforms. That's what they're shooting for this year, for 9,000 1,000 students, two uniforms per child, and they hope that they will be able to hit that goal before school starts. And as Gabby mentioned prior to the break, some schools are starting like this week. So please, the cost of the uniform, just $12. Is that all? That's all it takes if you want to make a monetary donation. So $24 gets a child two uniforms. And so why don't you do that if you can? You just go to svdpbr.org, or you can, if you have uniforms that are in pretty good shape, drop them off at any of the Our Lady of Lake Children's Health Facilities or First American Bank and Trust branches in and around the Baton Rouge area.
Awesome. Well, like Damian said, with kids starting this week, maybe you're looking for something to do while they're in school. Well, Catholic Charities has various opportunities for volunteering. All volunteers must complete two forms, the Catholic Charities of the Diocese of Baton Rouge Volunteer Questionnaire and the application for volunteers. So here are some ideas to support clients by. You can help prepare tax returns, helping refugees learn English, teaching basic computer literacy, interpreting for clients, and organizing a supply or fund drive. Of course, you call them if you have information about that. You can assist the agency with skills and interests like lawn or property maintenance, answering phones, childcare, sorting donations, or office help. To apply and learn more how to get involved, you can go to ccdiobr.org. That's ccdiobr.org.
Very good. And, you know, retreats are definitely plentiful right now. And there's a retreat for married couples coming up August 18th to the 21st. Its retreat cost is $500 per couple. If you are a member of the parish, it's $375. And if that parish is, if you're a member of a parish in the Houma Thibodaux area, the retreat will be taking place at the Lumen Christi Retreat Center in Shriver, Louisiana. If you'd like to register, go to domesticchurchfamilies.com, domesticchurchfamilies.com to learn more.
Awesome. Real quick, Converging Roads Regional Conference Series offering continuing education credits for healthcare professionals. It's August 27th. So you can go to forlifeandfamily.org for more information. So great events, Damian.
Yeah, a lot of events taking place, a lot of retreats. We'll have more for you as the week goes on in and around our area. In the meantime, don't go away. We're going to learn all about the saint of the day, St. Alphonsus Liguori. It's 15 after on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for August 1st. Today we celebrate St. Alphonsus Liguori. After losing an important case, young attorney Alphonsus Liguori entered the priesthood. He went on to become one of the greatest moral theologians in the history of the Church and the patron of moral theologians. After ordination, Alphonsus concentrated on preaching parish missions, hearing confessions, and forming Christian groups. He founded the Redemptorist Congregation in 1732. He envisioned it as an association of priests and brothers living a common life. Its mission was to imitate Christ and preach the gospel to peasants in rural areas. This saint's great pastoral reforms were in the pulpit and the confessional. He replaced the pompous oratory of the time with simplicity and the stern religious practices of the day with kindness. For some time, he himself suffered many scruples, fears, and temptations. Alphonsus was made a bishop at age 66. Though he wrote much in the field of moral theology, his books Glories of Mary and Visits to the Blessed Sacrament were most influential. He died just shy of his 91st birthday in 1787 and was canonized in 1839. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
And good morning again, everyone. 19 after the hour on a Monday morning. Welcome to Wake Up. Damian Colado, Gabby Smith, and the gang all here to greet you. And as you're waking up, we're also pleased to introduce our good friend Lonnie Thibodaux, who's always up and about this time of day. He's director of communications, and he's here to update it update us on this month's issue of the Bayou Catholic Magazine, which is in the diocese home of Thibodaux area. It is a great publication, an award-winning publication, to say the least. Lonnie, welcome again to Wake Up, brother.
Well, welcome, or thanks for the welcome, Damien. That's what I meant to say. I think you made quite a stretch there where you said your good friend Lonnie is always up and at him, you know, this early in the morning, like an assumption that somehow every morning I'm up and at him already at 7:19 in the morning.
Well, I know when we talk to you, you got to get up and at it.
That's true. So at least one, you are correct, one Monday out the month, I am up and at him at 7:19.
So what do we have in this week's or month's publication? It's really, I was thumbing through it. You've got a lot of great articles. One in particular, you got a whole section on health, which we'll get to. But let's talk about some of the key articles that people need to look for when they pick up a publication this week or throughout the month.
Yeah, Damon, the August issue of the Bayou Catholic just came out. It hit all of our church parishes this past weekend. And we start kind of where we always start when we did have a bishop. Like, again, home of Thibodaux, we're still in that holding pattern where we have our diocesan administrator, Father P.J. Madden, while waiting for the Holy Father to name our new bishop. But usually on page 8 of the magazine every month is what we call the bishop's column, in this case the administrator's column. But Father P.J. this month talks about, you know, August is really Mother Mary's month. Now, people could also say October is also a month. There's a lot of months that belong to Mary, but August, if for, you know, no other reason, of course, the feast of her Assumption, you know, body and soul into heaven, of course, coming up on August 15th. And I think what's really important for us, you know, certainly in this part of the world, Damien, is, you know, the feast of the, you know, Assumption is the Cajun feast. You know, for all of us good Cajun Catholics like myself, you know, that's a, you know, we celebrate our Cajun heritage on August the 15th.
Yes.
And one of the things we're going to do, and he talks about it in the column, is we have a French Mass, which will be at 6 p.m. on August 15th at St. Hilary in Matthews. My second cousin, Father Daniel Duplantis, will be celebrating that Mass, but it's coming up at a Mass all in French, coming up on August 15th on Assumption.
Yeah, that's great. And I know there's big celebration. The Eucharistic Boat Parade is going to be coming up in Lafayette area. They like to celebrate that as well in honor of the Assumption and the Eucharist. Let's talk about also a great conversion story with the Owens family.
Yeah, on page 18 in the magazine, Damon, we have a story of husband and wife doctors, Dr. Devin Owens and his wife, Dr. Ashley Owens. Devin is a family practitioner in Houma. His wife, Dr. Ashley, is a pain management doctor in Thibodaux. They are not natives to this area. They are recent converts to Catholicism. And it's I don't want to give it away because it is a tremendous story written by Janet Marcel. You know, he was Baptist. She was Methodist. They were, you know, married in the Methodist Church. They both did their residencies in North Carolina and then eventually moved to our local area. And it's just a great, great story as their family began to grow, their medical practices began to grow, they, you know, they were looking, they were searching for something in their lives. And that, what that wound up being was the Catholic faith. And it is a great, great, great story. They went through RCIA at my home parish, St. Bernadette in Houma, a little over a year ago. But it's a great, great conversion story, page 18 in the magazine this month.
Yes, yes. And both being doctors, and I love the fact that they never stopped searching. And when they found their calling, they were blessed immensely.
Yes, they were. You know, they found literally what they had always looked for, you know. And again, I was not familiar with their story. I got to be honest. It wasn't until I read the story in the magazine did I become familiar with their story. And this, you know, this was one of the great secrets in our diocese, the story of this, you know, this family in our local area, Doctors Devin and Ashley Owens.
Yeah.
We encourage people to read the story in the magazine.
Yeah, exactly. Now, we all know that Roe versus Wade made a lot of headlines last month. And, of course, a big article in the Bayou Catholic for this month's issue. Michelle Berry talks about, you know, the challenges and the things that are going to be available for women who no longer can get abortion, thank God.
You're right. And, you know, Damien, leading up to that day that we found out the Supreme Court had reversed Roe versus Wade, we and Catholic communications across the country were kind of preparing for that day. And one thing that Father P.J. Madden in our diocese felt very strongly about, and I agreed, is, you know, we weren't going to do a victory lap. Mm-hmm. You know, I hate to say it almost.
Yeah, you weren't going to rub it in there, a lot of people, their nose in it. Yeah.
Exactly. And by the way, me saying this on the radio right now is the first time publicly me or anybody from our diocese has said that, but it's true. You know, there was no need for a victory lap. This is something we've been waiting for 49 years. And as we have discovered through the legal process the last several weeks, it's not over. You know, there's still a lot to go. And as we all know, you know, and Michelle Berry, again, by the way, is the executive director of the Crossroads Pregnancy Resource Center in Thibodaux, and is a partner with us here in the Diocese of Houma Thibodaux. But she, you know, she does a great job in that story of talking about, you know, that pro-life is just a stance, but being pro-love is an action. And I think we all need to talk about that. And she kind of reminded me of something in the story that I'd kind of forgotten about. Is back in 2020, a couple of years ago, you might remember in the fall during the election cycle, we had the Love Life Amendment in the state of Louisiana that we all got to vote for. And I remember the artwork and the signs and the emails and everything going out. And we did that just a couple of years ago. But the couple of things, real importantly, that she mentioned in the story are two great resources, one of which is Embrace Grace. And you can go to embracegrace.com, and that's a great, great program. And again, you can read about it in the story or go to the website. And also something I've been hearing about for months, Walking with Moms in Need.
Yes.
And again, that's walkingwithmoms.com. You know, pregnant, parenting moms in need around us, and you can go there, and there's a lot of resources and everything. So that's a great story, especially here in Houma Thibodaux. Anyone, somebody or families in that situation right now that need resources, help, prayer, support, this is a great story. It's page 22 in the magazine.
Yeah, and a lot of people, you know, pro-choice folks out there keep saying that we're not doing anything for the moms or those expecting mothers. It's so false. It just aggravates me when I hear that.
Oh, no, I agree with you, brother. Yeah. I am with you. And we get tired of hearing that complaint, which, you know, says, you know, shameful misconception that people think that, you know, what they think we're all about, and it's certainly not that. We are out there and have been for decades.
Yeah, exactly.
Supporting women and expecting mothers and families in that situation. You're right.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of money being given out in the Bayou area, that's for sure. Tell us about that, over $500,000, to say the least.
Yeah, we got a couple stories back-to-back in the magazine about that. Our Catholic Foundation of South Louisiana just made a couple weeks ago what we call their annual distributions. In other words, all the monies that they have invested within our foundation for all of our, you know, schools and ministries and church parishes and everything. Every year they distribute, you know, the interest, essentially the interest that was earned on those endowments. And just a couple weeks ago, we announced over $580,000 to a lot of, you know, deserving ministries. The biggest one, over $269,000, went for our seminarian education.
Love
Damon,
it.
As we well know, our seminarians, it ain't cheap. I hate to say it that cruelly, but it is not inexpensive, you know, to educate those young men, our future priests, regardless of whether they're here at, you know, Notre Dame Seminary in New Orleans. We've got two at Pontifical Institute in Rome, you know. So anyway, but there's a list, page 28 in the magazine, of all of our local ministry schools, parishes, such that receive those distributions. By the way, we've distributed over $1.3 million over the past 5 years.
That's great.
You know, from that foundation.
That's fantastic, Lonnie. We're talking to Lonnie Thibodaux, Director of Communications at the Bayou Catholic Magazine. Lonnie, in the final minute, that you got almost a half a publication focused on wellness. I love it because we don't do enough to take care of our bodies, which are our temples.
Yep, I agree. And this is a very popular annual special section that we have in our magazine, our Bayou Wellness section. It starts on page 37 in the August issue. And somebody I mentioned before, who is my second cousin, Father Daniel Duplantis, has a guest column on page 39 in the magazine. And he's really, while he's a Catholic priest, he's also an Air Force He's been into the Air Force Officer Training School, and he's a military chaplain as well, but also is into the martial arts. He has a black belt. And it has a great story about mental, you know, comprehensive fitness, you know, mental, physical, social, spiritual. But there's a lot of great columns in this special issue about men's health, women's health, diabetes, vascular issues. Very, very popular issue that we have every month. And again, it starts on page 37 in the August issue.
Yes. Well, Lonnie, as always, thank you for being with us. Where do they go if they want to get a copy, or if they don't want to get a copy and just read it online?
Sure, BayouCatholic.org or HDDiocese.org, and just click on the Bayou Catholic box, and they can read the August issue.
Lonnie Thibodeau, thank you. We'll talk to you again next month. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
All right, folks, it is 30 after the hour. Don't go away. Big Al Migliorato is coming your way next on Wake Up.
It is 35 past the hour. Thanks so much for tuning in with us. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado. Our next guest is Alan Migliorato. He's a I can't do the show with Damian in the studio because he's... Oh my gosh, we're all having such a great time. We have this group text, Alan, where we just talk about some funny things, and it's just spilling into your segment. I apologize. Alan Migliorato joins us, co-author of Failing Forward, Leadership Lessons for Catholic Teens Today, joins us. Hey, Alan, how are you doing this morning?
No, it's all about you guys. Let's talk about you.
It's fitting. I was the class clown in school, you can imagine what it's like when I'm not in school and we're going on during the break. So preparing teens for school, this is appropriate. I'm actually going to learn something today.
Yeah, I wish I'd have prepared for school. I was also the class clown quite a bit.
But, were you?
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, we get kids ready,
Alan,
to go back to school. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. There you go.
No, that's fine. I was just going to jump right into it. I was going to say, with my own kids, you know, when we get close to school starting up again, because they stay up a little bit later in the summer, and, you know, they're not as disciplined with their regular schedule as, you know, and they need time for that. They need time to kind of stay up a little later and eat a little bit of junk food, watch movies a little bit late, you know, and stay out with their friends as they get older a little bit later. And they get back to school, you know, you've got to start them when they're younger to start training themselves to start getting up early, which means going to bed a little earlier. About a week before school, you know, you want to start kind of prepping that, you know. And the other thing is make sure that you're going to – so today kids tend to overextend themselves quite a bit. You've got, you know, the programs, the IP or the IG or AP classes that they take, and then there's all kinds of extra classes that these kids are taking to prep for college, because it seems like colleges don't want to just accept the 4.0 anymore. You got to have a 4.5 or however they get a 4.5.
Yeah.
But it seems like, you know, it's a lot harder nowadays to compete. And so kids try to overload their schedules. They got, you know, the sports teams and then the travel sports teams and then the after-school clubs and theater and dance and all kinds of things that kids are trying to do. But it's important to do one thing. And whatever you're able to take with your schedule, you know, everybody has a different threshold. But the one thing that I encourage families to do is to make God a priority. And it doesn't mean that let's fit in church if we have time this weekend. It means to make it a priority. So that means trying to make some time for your kids to get to a youth group. If they're not going to youth group right now, find one and encourage them to be part of it, because it not only does it create camaraderie inside a community of faith, but it also helps your kids stay focused on God and understand that that's a priority, not just a box that we check off.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I have a question, Alan, because every time, I've experienced this a lot of times, even as a teen, seeing those kids, well, my mom made me come, or my, you know, I'm doing this because my parents are making me do this. What if your teen joining maybe a youth group or...
Yep, I think we lost Gabby.
Probably not. Can you guys hear me now?
Yeah, we can.
I can hear you. What you're asking is, how do you deal with, like, when your kids feel forced to go somewhere?
Yes. And or if they do not want to attend something like a youth group, what do you do as a parent when you're caught in that situation?
Well, that's a great question, you know, and I think it's about building that relationship and not just saying, hey, you're going to youth group this weekend, but saying, hey, listen, you know, what did you ever think about doing that? Maybe I did it when I was younger and I had a really good time, or, hey, I want you to go check this group out. Let me know what you think. Or talk to the youth minister. A lot of times parents will come up to me and say, my kid does not want to go to youth group, but I really want them there because I know you guys have a really great program. So how do I get my kid there? So what I do in those cases, I'll usually ask the kid if they can help me, you know, help me with something. And so I'll put them in a leadership role and give them something to do where they're helping and they're also taking part in what's going on. And a lot of times that helps. I've had people come up to me. I had this girl. This is my favorite story about this one girl. She's so quiet, right? Very, very quiet, like hardly said a word. And I finally got her to talk, and she, like after 3 weeks, and she's like, yeah, my mom told me that I had to come here because I was being punished for the next 2 months. And I was like,
oh my God.
Wow, that's awesome. You know, I said, well, you go stand in the corner, you know, like, what do you do with that? So she's laughing, and I'm like, so since you're here, why don't we make the best of it? So eventually she really started liking coming, you know, and just kind of through the discussions that we were having, and we're not like a stuffy group, you know. And so I think once kids experience something like that, they'll come back. If it's a good youth group, if they're focused on the right things, if, you know, the youth group, sometimes they feel like they're there to entertain, and that's really not what they're there for. I mean, they're there to have social gathering, but like, if somebody doesn't feel entertained, I don't feel bad. Like, we're there to kind of focus on God and get into their world and meet them where they are and bring them to Jesus. So like, if I'm not there to juggle, you know, and make them laugh, but I mean, that ends up happening anyway with youth ministry. But yeah, I think just give it time, you know, keep encouraging your kids to come and challenge them. Say, look, why don't you try it this one time and see what you think. And make sure that you're communicating that with the youth minister or whoever's in charge there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was part of a youth group in high school, and I enjoyed going. I think it has a lot to do with the leader, the youth group leader, making it just a relaxed environment. And I hate using the word teen friendly, but you know what I mean. Not so strict, but just and to enjoy the faith and say, you know, we can gather together. We know you're going through a very awkward time in life, and here's everyone else who's going through an awkward time, and here's how we can also still continue to be Catholic. I think it depends on the leader too.
The other thing is that kids will go somewhere when their friends are there. And so a lot of times if you can encourage one of their friends to show up, like, nobody wants to walk into a room when you're 16 years old and not know anybody and have everybody look at you like, oh, I know that guy from school, or who's that? You know, and so if you show up with two or three friends, which is what I encourage, you know, they travel in clumps. There's one boy in our youth group last year, he'd bring 11 kids with him, 11 boys, juniors. And they would all sit together in the front of the church at the mass, at the youth mass at 5:30, and then walk over to youth group together and have dinner. It was beautiful, you know. But when one wouldn't show up, like, you'd have half of them there, you know, because the other ones didn't get the message that they weren't going that night. So it's important to encourage not only them, but say, hey, bring a friend with you. If you don't want to go by yourself, bring a friend. Bring two or three friends. And that's great for the youth group, too, because now you've got a different dynamic and different perspectives on faith from different kids.
Alan, I got a quick question. What about those kids who are Catholic, go to public schools, and the parents say, you don't have to go to catechism class if you don't want to, or they force them to go, and then once they make their confirmation, it's over, as far as they look at it.
Yeah.
How do they overcome that? Where's the conversation
graduation.
On that? Yeah.
Yeah, that's awful. That's one of the things that happens quite a bit. You know, you have that confirmation graduation conundrum. and we try to avoid that by saying, listen, we have a 10-week class that parents and teens have to come to with our confirmation at our church, and I teach it. And there's times where, you know, we'll ask the parents, you know, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing at home? They're the primary catechists.
Right.
So like, if there's only so much you can do. You know, we're gonna do what we can when we have your kids for an hour or 2 hours on Sunday night, but really, like, this is up to you at home. And so I think a lot of times it's educating the parents on how to teach the faith at home. When, quite honestly, and this is gonna sound really bad, but most Catholics have like a sixth grade education when it comes to their faith. So it's time, you know, you have to up the ante if you want your kids to be closer to God. You've got to be closer to God, which comes back to a lot of the conversations that we have. on your show here, where it's like, you know, I challenge the parents to up their game so that their kids will naturally want to learn more.
Yeah, definitely. Alan Migliorato, co-author of Failing Forward, Leadership Lessons for Catholic Teens Today. Alan, where can we go to find more information about you and your books?
Check us out on AdventureCatholic.com or Facebook. You can check out Adventure Catholic.
Awesome. We're always looking forward to your segments, Alan. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Okay. God bless you guys.
Take care, brother.
All right. That was a fun conversation. I know a lot of parents are, like we said earlier, getting ready for the start of school. Maybe today is your child's first day of school. So good luck today. Good luck this week. And we're all in this together, you guys.
Yeah. We'll get through it. Lead by example. If you want your child to enhance their faith, you need to lead by example as a parent.
I absolutely agree. Kristen Van Uden joins us from Sophia Institute Press. When we come back from the break, it's 45 past the hour on Wake Up. It is 48 past the hour. Thanks so much for being with us on this beautiful August 1st. Can't believe it's August 1st. We're going to continue to move along with our next guest. Kristen Van Uden joins us. She is the author spokesperson at Sophia Institute Press. And today she's going to talk about the book Meditations on the Holy Rosary. Hey, Kristen, thanks for being with us again.
Good morning, Gabby. Thanks for having me back.
Absolutely. Give us details. Meditations on the Holy Rosary. I'm always looking forward and looking to new resources on how to pray the Rosary and how to get more deeper into my spiritual life. So tell us a little bit about this.
Sure. So Rosary devotionals are some of my favorite books to have, too. I don't think you can have too many of these because they're all different in their own way. And this particular devotional, my favorite part is that it's fully illustrated. So all the way through, each mystery has a full-page illustration. So it's something to definitely keep and hold on to for a while. But also, this is written by Father Delindo Rotolo, who has been making the rounds because he has been declared servant of God. So he is the originator of the Surrender Novena. I think we talked about his previous book with us at Sophia, The Afterlife, about purgatory and heaven. And so there's something to be said, certainly, for looking into his writings as his process for canonization is moving ahead, and to just his devotion to the Rosary really blossomed in his life because the Surrender Novena is actually said on the beads of the Rosary with different prayers. So the way that it's framed is in conversations between Jesus and the soul. And so you'll see on every page not only an illustration, but also this sort of active meditation where there's a participation demanded from the reader to make you really anchor the Rosary more deeply in your soul.
So many of us, Kristen, do pray the Rosary. Some of us pray the Rosary every day. I know my mom is one of them. I don't think I've ever seen her not pray the Rosary. Even when we're on vacation, yeah, every night she has Rosary beads in her hand. But those of us who are maybe trying to get back into the Rosary, or maybe we're like, you know, I wander, or I keep getting distracted, or I fall asleep. I mean, I've been guilty of all of those, you know, myself. Tell us, Kristen, what we can find in this book, maybe some tips and advice.
So the first thing that Father Delindo does to dissuade us of those temptations is to remind us what the Rosary is. So it serves not only as a beautiful prayer, but also as our most powerful tool of spiritual warfare. So we have to remember that it is our protection against the devil. And so it is quite pretty much the opposite of boring in a sense. It's our spiritual weapon is what protects us, and it's what can, you know, save, has the capacity for these efficacious graces that can save our souls. So he reminds us just the absolute power. It was handed to St. Dominic from Our Lady herself, so it is her teaching us how to pray. And then he also gives some beautiful imagery of the Rosary as a harmony. So rather than thinking of each prayer and each Hail Mary as just a boring repetition, he encourages us to think of them as the notes in a symphony. So each note taken alone may seem pointless or even boring or doesn't make sense, but when you take them together, the Rosary as an arc going through the mysteries is the story of our salvation, and each Hail Mary is said in a different way by the soul, even though it sounds the same, it's the same words, because they're each serving
towards building those mysteries up. So actually, in some Eastern European countries, the way that they pray the rosary is that a little, about a paragraph about that mystery is included. They break it down by sentence. So they break down the story of the visitation, for example, and they insert in each Hail Mary one part of that sentence, so that by the end of that decade, you actually have recited the full story of the visitation. And even when we don't do that verbally, when we're just praying the Hail Marys, we are still working our way through those stories. And so he encourages us to remind ourselves, and having visual aids like this book certainly helps, what the rosary is, why we say it, and if we can think more deeply about it, how it will engage our souls and our minds, and we won't be bored anymore.
You know, Kristen, I'm sure there are a lot of listeners who have maybe never prayed the rosary, and this is maybe their first time kind of learning about it. You know, you never know who's listening. Do you recommend this book for those who are maybe wanting to start out, maybe just became Catholic, or thinking about becoming Catholic and have those questions about the rosary and this part of our Catholic faith?
I definitely recommend this book for beginners, and there's really no way to go wrong with praying the rosary. There's ways to enhance our prayer and, of course, to delve more deeply into the mysteries, but even just praying it without any sort of feeling, or if you're meditating on the mysteries and don't come to any sort of breakthrough, that's totally fine, but we can't be expected to be having these experiences of the divine every time we pray. But that's what makes it faith, is that we are persevering in our prayer because it's what God asks of us, and we know that it will have benefits to our souls. So yeah, I would say don't get discouraged by any expectations. This book is a great aid to begin because it explains, it has, of course, the prayers are in there, and these are prayers that are well known too, but the order and the history of each of the meditations on the mysteries as well is included at the back of the book. He has actually some additional homilies on these topics. So it's definitely something that I would say at any point in your spiritual life as a beginner, and even something to keep through the rest of your life, it will aid anybody at any point.
Kristen, did Father Delino Rotolo, did he and Padre Pio know each other? And if so, is that also brought into the book?
They did, and I'm glad you bring that up, because Padre Pio actually was a contemporary of Father Galindo, and he said he had great praise for him. He claimed that Father Galindo was himself a living saint. So I can't imagine higher praise.
Yeah, imagine that, huh?
A better contemporary. and Padre Pio also pointed out that Father Galindo's name in Italian means pain. It comes from the Italian word for pain. And so he was a victim soul, and he offered himself up throughout his life for the salvation of souls and for the souls in purgatory. And so it really drives home the sacrificial nature of his vocation, and how the last 10 years of his life, he was actually bedridden and paralyzed. And throughout all of that silent suffering, that's when many of these graces really took root in his life. So we see very similarities between the way that he suffered, and obviously the suffering that Padre Pio endured with the stigmata, and how in the 20th century they were both just amazing, that these modern-day saints exemplify this great efficacious suffering that we see throughout saints throughout the Church's history.
That's amazing. Kristen Van Uden, author, spokesperson at Sophia Institute Press. We're talking about the Meditations on the Holy Rosary book. Kristen, where can our listeners pick up a copy?
This book is available, as always, at our website, sophiainstitute.com.
Awesome. Kristen, thank you so much for joining us today. Great topic, great book.
Thanks for having me. Take care.
God bless.
Absolutely. I love that. Yeah. Great tips. And you know what? That was a great question, Damien. That's amazing. I love it when people who wrote books know other saints and they just come together. It's just, I don't know, it's
yeah, so, it is nice. And seems like anybody associated with Padre Pio becomes a saint sooner or later. Definitely a holy person, I can assure you. Yeah. I don't think he didn't hang around. He either converted you to holiness if you weren't. So that's why I say always hung around holy people. So
yeah,
we're going to close with our prayer to St. Alphonsus, if we can, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, you continue to build up your church by the lives of your saints. Give us grace to follow St. Alphonsus in his loving concern for the salvation of people and so come to share his reward in heaven. Walking in the footsteps of this devoted servant of yours, may we be consumed with zeal for souls and attain the reward he enjoys in your kingdom. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. Michael Acalda with St. Vincent de Paul joins us. Angie Thomas with Louisiana Right to Life. And Mary Bruno with her book, 12 Stripes Deep. Have a wonderful Monday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Radio.